Hello and welcome to Imp's WWE Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through Red Circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. A link is in the description. Order merch from all our shows over at chopped-tees.com. Thank you to Dickie. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Total Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the WWE week that was. 30 minutes on the week the wrestling ratings talk got blown into. Yeah, they're both doing well. It was time for WWE to air from my homeland, Royal Britannia. Britannia rules the waves? What is it called when it's on streaming? It's TV waves. Or streams. Britannia rules the streams. For both SmackDown and Raw were live from the O2 Arena in London, with dynamic pricing having those in attendance forking out a stupid amount of money. Someone had a sign that said, "I used my wedding fund to see Roman Reigns." I bet she's ecstatic with that decision. Absolutely ecstatic. But yes, it's a relatively standard week as we build towards WrestleMania. It felt like this week really does feel like it's kicking up a lot more into that WrestleMania road, but definitely you can just see the sentiment just across, especially if you're on like social media of any form really, you can just see that the sentiment is that this build is just a bit subpar. And I did just use the phrasing that feels like the momentum has just fallen off a bit. It's a kinder way of putting it, rather than just saying, yeah, they factor it, shit. It's that Triple H kind of way of booking where you don't have to watch every episode of NXT, but the takeovers will be grand. It's that similar thing of the weekly TV shows are never really that necessary to watch. But this week was the exact same story as it has been for the entire time through Europe. In terms of the actual content of the shows, yeah, they're fine. They're absolutely okay. But the crowds are so loud and they bring such an incredible energy to the shows that it just immediately lifts them up. Which is why I've been singing that it is a really good idea to do this WrestleMania road on the road in Europe. Really, really smart idea. Do it in front of white-hot crowds are just happy to see the wrestling. But anyway, let's jump on into it. Jump on down the SmackDown road first. 2 hours, 6 minutes on Netflix for me, on USA for them. Let's jump on down to London.
You're closing the show at WrestleMania. You get to live your dream of all dreams. See M. Punk, you are a WrestleMania main eventer.
As we are starting with the contract signing, Roman Reigns, CM Punk and Seth Rollins, one of the WWE staple segments. Just do a contract signing to get everybody in there and eventually somebody will attack someone and you'll get that big old brawl. One big note for these shows, for both of these shows this week, the crowd just seemingly just wanted to sing. You give the UK fans any room for a song and they will immediately take it, and that happened here as well. I talked about the same in Glasgow. Just every opportunity to do a little sing and they will take it. Roman Reigns got sang at with the same rhythm as the Cody Rhodes chant. He was out there all confident and whatnot, and he just signed the contract. Before he could really get into his flow, interrupted Sethy Boo. Rollins on out getting sang at as well. Eventually we get to the point, Rollins bringing up the past, their mission to take out the old guard and build up the WWE in their image. And it's fair to say we accomplished our mission. Reigns having absolutely none of that. We? What do you mean we? We ended a long time ago. Roman having none of Seth taking credit for what he calls his success. He was champion, not Seth. He led WWE into this era and the big Netflix deal. Not Seth. And doing so in this, talking about the old guard, the crowd immediately put the pieces together. It's like, ah, these two had that mission. But the guy who brought him in, CM Punk, he's an old guard who hasn't been taken care of. They were already chanting his name, so I guess it's time to bring him out. Punk has earned the only man to thumb through the actual contract. Heyman then, eventually going over, like, I know what you're looking for, and it's in there. This match is main eventing WrestleMania in brackets night one. But let's not talk about that. Having a big old emotional beat for CM Punk. Paul and Punk sharing a tear for the main eventing night one of a 2-night extravaganza. Not to bring up past words, but Roman laughing at that being such an easy favour for him to give. Rollins had then none of, what do you mean Punk's going to be main eventing? And he got out his angry rant. Like, that top spot, that's sacred. CM Punk should be nowhere near the main event of WrestleMania. Reigns cockily wanted his acknowledgement from Punk. The Chicago man did it, but laced with sarcasm and knowing he had the one final line. Thank you, but that's not the favour I am owed. Fade to black, end of broadcast. If last week's segment told you where each character was at going into this match, this one allowed a bit more freedom to dance about and give us each like more of an individual character beat here. Like, Roman Reigns got to be, he is the main event, he's the cocky guy, he is the reason for all the success. Then Seth Rollins comes in, he's then super angry at CM Punk getting this note. Out comes CM Punk, and this, he's finally like, he's achieving his dream, but Roman Reigns, like, you are not paying me back by doing this. And of course, he got the heat with Seth Rollins as well. So each character got their own individual beat in this segment, just to add that something more to the match. I personally thought that this could be used to have the contract sign and just give the characters a lot more freedom. Instead, they were just giving one note. Really, what we saw from Cody Rhodes and John Cena, yes, that was slightly different because they were going for the blowing the lines kind of character roast sort of thing. But at least here, I thought we'd get more than one extra note per character. It's nice to get the extra note, like, don't get me wrong. Like, it does help. It does make it feel like there's something just a bit more to it. You're not just relying on what was said last week and doing that. You actually gave each character something new to work with. But I was expecting more than one. I was expecting something bigger. My point is that just look, the reason I don't feel like I'm being too harsh on it is that you look at the John Cena Cody Rhodes segment and just see the sheer number of notes within that for each guy. It's way more than one. It's way more. And they did a similar thing where all the character setup and the motivation stuff was done in the previous promos, then it got to do something new there. I thought this would be that here for the contract signing. So aren't that many shows left, and it does feel like if Monday Night was anything to go by, if SmackDown is anything like it, then it does feel like there is that kick up now of, okay, we're getting a little bit more heated with these feuds. I've kind of just been like swimming steady in the water, just been treading water, just kind of getting there. I mean, especially like Jey Uso Gunter finally got a fire lit under it after treading water, and maybe we'll see that from, hoping we'll get something from Strat and Charlotte Flair as well, where that feels like that's been treading water as well. But like I say, I kind of just expected more from this. We got the brawl last time, whilst this was just like, it's fine. It's got the thing of CM Punk getting his main event and the different way that each guy then reacted to that, but it's not really giving me something like extra to chew on. That's like, for me, that felt like a huge emotional beat which he can then use to really get to. Both Rollins and Roman got their reaction, Punk got to do the twist, and that's just where it ends. It's like, oh, okay, fine, yeah, whatever. And it almost felt like in the analysis I've seen in this segment afterwards, it almost felt like that line was almost so lower down the rung of importance as the rest of the stuff that happened in that segment, where it almost immediately seemed to get forgotten. It's like, no, right at the end of the segment, CM Punk says that this is not the favour that he's owed. That's not what the whole Survivor Series thing was building up to. This is not that favour. Like, he is still owed something by Roman Reigns. I mean, something tells me that when the favour thing was created, they didn't know. It feels like one of those ones. You can still, like, hindsight book it into being something good, and maybe just reminding people it exists while semi-bringing it up. Like, in the past year, it would have just been dropped. Or it would have been something shit. But yeah, God, this would have been it. Like, okay, cool, we can drop that thread now. I can at least appreciate them going, we can come up with something. But the segment itself, like, it's not a lot to write home about. It's like, yeah, I had the nice notes. Cool. Doesn't really make me any more excited or not for the match. It does feel like this is going to be a card which feels like it will stand up. It will be a good show. But the build has just been air, treading water till we get there. We've got the final weeks before, as we're budding up back in America. Raw was maybe a little sign that they could start heating things up. Friday Night SmackDown will be the proof of that for me. Either it'll be immediately answered to be, yeah, here we go, we're finally getting there. Or be the answer of, nah, it was just one angle. it was just a gun to Jey Uso thing. It's just that. It was just a coincidence, and back to normality we go. We'll see. Anyway, let's then jump over to Cody Rhodes. The undisputed WWE champion opened Smackers, giving his response to Cena and spending time soaking in the English chants again. Any opportunity to sing. A surprise Randy Orton out of nowhere got a huge pop. This may be a promo segment, but your man Randy was oiled up in his underpants anyway. Always be ready, folks. Always gonna be ready. The man tried to get through his lines of sentimentality, but the O2 just wanted to sing. It took some big ass balls to do what you did. The WWE narrative for Cody's story being that he single-handedly changed the industry outside of WWE before forever changing WWE when he returned. I don't mind the idea of that mirror reflection, because you are the leader. We are saying that you changed the WWE internally. Like, you changed WWE when you returned as well. Narratively, it's nice. It fits. Reality, complete nonsense. Complete nonsense. He is a very important figure, but yeah, complete nonsense. The line of single-handedly changed the industry outside of WWE. Absolute nonsense. But he was part of the change. But in terms of the mirror for their narrative, it does feel nice and neat in that narrative. Same, it's not true. But within the WWE world, is that you know that loads of people are going to believe that that is exactly what Cody Rhodes did. At least I know when I'm watching it, I just see it for the almost in-universe story that than it is, and it's a lot neater if it's just that simple mirror reflection. Randy recapped Rhodes' story to becoming champion, attributing the company's current success to the character of Cody. Orton put the champion over big, so confident he'll beat Cena, as he told him that he's going to be the one to challenge Rhodes for the title after WrestleMania. Another big pop for Drew McIntyre strolling on out to another chorus from London. A couple of Nepo babies having a love fest, calling Priest a Timu Undertaker. Nay, I'll be the one who faces Cody after WrestleMania. Rhodes cutting off the jump, ending our wee little tease for the match later on. But Randy was already in his underpants. Now he has to wait. Oh, he'll have to re-oil. It'll be all sticky. Horrible. He'll have to shower, then have to reapply the oil. God, did Nick Aldis not think of that? I mean, it may Maybe it's on you, Randy, for oiling up before you had a match. Like, Nick Aldis, he's got a show scheduled. You would have seen it in the back written on the whiteboard. You would have seen it. Yes, Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. An absolutely fine teddy bout. But it was another setup for an interference. After the break, KO showed up at ringside and cost Orton the match by just existing. Angry ringside jump by Randy, but not the hottest of beats. That's why this happened in the middle of the show and was followed by the, oh god no, Jimmy Uso versus The Miz. Then that's the match that gets the proper run to a finish. That one? Uso after the match set us towards his segment with Gunther on Monday, which was excellent. But before that, you did also give me Jimmy Uso versus The Miz. Like, I'm not dropping that. That was a match that I watched, so you lucky people don't have to. Yes, you gave me the amazing segment on Monday Night Raw. But this as well. This came with it. Then after that, Drew was all happy for his drink with Lewis Capaldi on his way out, opening the door to the garage before running right into Damian Priest. Brawl into the O2 parking lot, ending in a chokeslam crashing Drew onto a car windshield. Glass in my eye! Don't tease me, Pirate Drew, and not give it to me. The answer is yes. Punk then got his walk-in past the smashed car. For no reason. It wasn't not to anything or anything. But this is what I'm talking about, where feuds that basically had nothing got a little something. And this week's SmackDown will be the sign for me whether this Damian Priest Drew McIntyre angle is continuing to actually now properly get lit or something, just to try and make us care. Or if that was the bit and now we're just going to get standard stuff. But does it count as standard if it's your everyday beat of Damian Priest has a match, which is a setup for an interference? But Drew McIntyre does do it wearing an eye patch. I mean, if you give me Pirate Drew, does it matter that it's technically the same routine way of getting the interference? I might forgive it. I might just lace up my hypocrite boots. And just be like, you know what? Sorry, I don't care. Call me a hypocrite because he looks like a pirate. It's fine. The United States Championship, LA Knight versus Braun Strowman. How do you guys like your setups for interferences? Oh, well, we're on the road proper. The same arena that chanted for Knight as their most beloved man at Money in the Bank last year gave the same love right here on Smackers. Was I right that this first defense of Knight's second reign was just that staging for an interference? They got to wrestle through the ad break, but once Knight was outside and the Strowman choo-choo got running around those ringside tracks, Jacob Fatu! The crowd so into Big Jacob that they didn't care about the match getting thrown out one iota. The ole, 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 Fatu, Fatu chanted instead. Knight still got his yeah, but Fatu is just so incredibly over right now. After the break, Solo and Tama not happy Fatu did that without them knowing, making it clear that Fatu's no longer a lad listening to orders. The important notes being, I'll bring the United States Championship to our family. With you, wait, gestures to Tama, or without you, gestures to Solo. Feel sure that we're hurtling into that United States Championship four-man. The beat of Solo going, well, Solo, during the match, all primed and ready. And the answer is yes, we are also hurtling towards a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental Championship as well. There's so many multi-man matches. Got the triple threat as well with the main event night one, they opened the show with. You've got the triple threat for the Women's World Championship as well. There's a lot of multi-person stuff going on this year, which really does just add to that feeling of this is a rebuilding after last year's was like the finishing of a big grand story. This feels like the first year building whatever's next. I mean, I don't mind it. Like, can tell the story as well. This is technically like the building of Cody Rhodes' kingdom, the first WrestleMania of like properly building it. Like, I don't mind that. Lewis Capaldi is a funny lad, but next to the tall, tanned American Cody, he just looked ill. It's always funny with the video that they put out on socials. At least I know how I'd look in that environment now too, though I've been represented by Lewis Capaldi. Oban Elliott got the who are you pop. I don't know who he is. The UFC does not have the same cultural relevance over here. People are aware of what the UFC is. I mean, my parents are. They've got absolutely no idea what the UFC is. The answer is yes, I have accidentally referenced them. I think Conor McGregor must have come up. Or then he asked who Conor McGregor is. It's like, oh, he's a UFC fighter. What's that? It's like, oh, I have to rewind back. It's like an MMA company. He's like, I don't know what that is. It's like, God damn it. Like every part of this having to be built up. Street Profits defended their WWE Tag Team Championships against UK's own, yes boy, Pretty Deadly. United Kingdom flag attire and all of the challengers. a wee momentum hope spot, but Big Dawkins caught poor Kit and the elevated blockbuster came soon after. My pessimistic prediction was wrong, that this was also just going to be a stage of interference. We did get two. I got two of the three correct. I've been being like, this is going to be a staging just for an interference. Two of the three of them were, but I am happy that this wasn't. Instead, just leaning into giving the hope spots to the Yes Boy in their home country. I'm still in the belief that we're going to get a tag man which will be broken up from an interference angle to set up a big ladder kerfuffle or something at WrestleMania. But on this night, they gave the British lads false hope, and I'm absolutely fine with that. Chelsea Green's Scottish Guard faced the Party Girls. Piper and Kaylee wrestled in their service suits and all. The English fully cheered for the Scots as they beat up Zelina after the bell for that angle as well. Naomi got an excellent VTR promo play. Delivery, music, production, all on point, explaining her character so well. Shedding a tear before switching into, "But I'm done. Moving forward, if you continue to be in my way, Jade, I urge you to proceed with caution." That's why she's got all the caution tape on her. I keep forgetting, WWE and their character work quite often, even though it feels like an Naomi idea. Not the most subtle. Absolutely fine with that. It's like, that's why she's covered in caution tape. I feel like I should have put that together myself. I should have predicted this line. But I really, really did like this video. I love the production of it, and I just love the way it fed it. It tells you so much about the Naomi character. You know mentally where she's at because of how it's filmed. I'm a really big fan of it. I continue to be in on this feud, even though I've got that worry that this is going to be just like the match that loses its time. Like, if there's any big candidate for anything running over, this feels like it could be it. I'd like them to get like some time because I'm properly into the story, but sometimes I'm absolutely fine with soap opera drama. Feels like this is the perfect level to really do it for. And sticking with the women, Mia Yim faced Charlotte Flair. Before their match, Aldis told Cargill he was sure Naomi wasn't there. Beef Ever and Yim set up as Cargill's friends for the first time ever, so commentary could call it a proxy attack. Jade out for the save, but then obviously after that, Flair finally made her entrance, giving a wee little Jade and Charlotte stare down as Trips continued to serve a few future teasers for after the WrestleMania season. We want Tiffy Chance as Flair swung into her win. Instead, the champion was backstage for her Jackie interview. And finally, we got a further flickering video teasing what I'm sure is Aleister Black's April return. And Rey Fénix, outright advertised, is also just around the corner for SmackDown. And they did on commentary say that he is Penta's brother. They referenced the Lucha Bros, building up the hype of, like, if you like Penta, this guy is also amazing. And not putting them on the same brand, coming over from SmackDown. And that was SmackDown, a show where with a lot of singing, a lot of pausing for singing, the O2 were having a jolly old time. Show itself, it's okay, it was fine. Any match which felt like it was a big match was a staging for an interference. I talked more about Pretty Deadly with the tag team match, but I am enjoying the Street Profits. It's been like 2 weeks so far seeing them on telly with these titles, and they generally feel like a good act. But yeah, it was an episode of SmackDown. It was the most episode of SmackDown. So anyway, let's jump on over to Monday Night Raw, given that they are so linked together, as we're still in London, the second night in the O2, live on Netflix. Of course, we kick off with John Cena and Cody Rhodes, and their character roasting, blurring of the lines. Time for that kind of promo in the John Cena feud. So let's get to it. Let's jump on over to Monday Night Raw.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
It's not where your tattoo's at, Cody. It's what your tattoo is that exposes you to the world for who you are, a common fan like them. So after WrestleMania, it'll be great for you. Go straight to Fanatics, buy the toy belt that they buy, call yourself their champion. Because the last real champion is taking that home forever and exposing you for who you are. An errand boy that got lucky.
The crowd now conditioned and chanted for Cena as soon as the Raw walk-in music stopped. The character motivation explaining officially dealt with. We finally got the line-blowing character attacks desperately needed to heat this main course up. Cody out before John could riff solo. No beating around the bush, so we just got right to it. even if Cody was out in his Vincent K. McMahon black and gold pinstrip suit and Blue Peter badge as well, they got to balance it out. A full song and a mini stare down, and they still got to their promo quicker than Jey Uso. I timed it. I saw them start, and it's like, oh god, we're only 9 minutes into the show, and you're actually starting the promo proper now. Jey Uso had another three in him. Like, they still wouldn't start for Jey. Cody thought he was playing it smart, cutting Cena off to the roast of Rhodes, positioning himself above Stardust, neck tattoo, and booed in AEW comments. Gave Cena the platform to tell the fans why he's been lying to them. But our John's not a man who punches down. He's not going to cut Cody. I'm going to bury you. I don't bury talent. I am talent. I bury mediocrity. Great character beat for Cena, interpreting the singing for Cody as a con and a trick, fawning the crowd into cheering for mediocrity, which just feels like it's one of those mirror deflections where everything he's saying that Cody is almost what he feels he himself was doing. Someone mediocre wearing something meaningful nowadays is enough to trick these people. It's not where your tattoo's at, Cody. It's what your tattoo is that exposes you to the rest of the world for what you are, a common fan just like them. A promo that hit so well, the crowd started cheering for him immediately after. Like, they were against all the words he was saying, but by the end they just started chanting Cena. It's like, oh, we were entertained by the promo you gave. Which to me begs the question, was it an effective promo? Did it actually work if the crowd afterwards are cheering instead of, like, booing? Seemingly in that moment, they're not against the Cena promo. They're cheering for it? Which arguably for me would mean it has absolutely backfired. But that's me going at it from, like, an AEW perspective, where I would expect AEW to try and emotionally twist me correctly whilst, for WWE, if the thing's good, they'll cheer it. So it's a very, very different environment. Cody able to bring up the fans choosing him again before questioning if that was the same for John Cena. Or was it just the old accused rapist and sex trafficker they keep bringing up for a pop like this every now and then? Or was Cody actually put it? Or was it the one guy in an office who's not here anymore and we don't talk about? If anybody is a company creation, it's you, John Cena. Ripping into Cena for acting like he left WWE better than he found it, when for Cody's story to even work, there has to be enough disenfranchised fans to follow Cody as he went, doing his look at me over here with the elite. None of that works if John Cena has left WWE in such a good place that everybody wants to flock there and they're all primed to do great business. Cody's story can't possibly work if that's true. Finally swinging into straight up storyline beats by finally bringing up The Rock for the first time since the Elimination Chamber. You sold out, yada yada. John, you're still my hero, but you're also a piece of shit. I'm watching the edited version and how dare they replace the English chanting piece of shit with a badly mixed in stock crowd boo.mp3. This show, by the way, at times, absolutely butchered in the edit. So many, like, any chant that contains the swear word completely taken out. And as a British person, I feel incredibly offended. You're silencing my culture. No one has been worthy of bringing it to John Cena. I make empires for billionaires. All you've ever done is steal money from their kids. Rhodes got the final line, though. Never once have they chanted at me, you can't wrestle. John back into the ring for the watched over 2 million times on YouTube beat of Cody hitting the crossroads on Cena. That final line of the all you've ever done is steal money from their kids line, it works really well for the Cena character, even if I can also see that as a little bit of a transparent just dig at AEW again, trying to belittle what that company has actually managed to achieve, especially on this week. Like, yes, more aired before the news came out, just the incredible ratings that AEW is currently getting. They're both doing well. End of story. Let's just move on and enjoy the wrestling. It's a lot easier with me not on Twitter. I'll be honest. I know it's happening, yet I hardly see it anymore. I think that's the perfect balance. Like, to know it's happening, because I talk to enough people, and part of the Social Suplex Discord, I know that it happens, but I hardly see it, which is just that perfect world to be in. But it does work for the John Cena character, for him to truly believe Cody wasn't actually shaking up the business, which pairs it relatively well with SmackDown, where Randy Orton was positioning Cody Rhodes as this guy who single-handedly changed the business outside the WWE. But John Cena says the opposite, like, you just left WWE, stole some money from a billionaire, then you came back and you were a phony champion. And for me, they're having Randy Orton and John Cena describe what happened to Cody in two such different interpretations and different ways. Like, I like it. I like it when you contrast John Cena's promo against Randy Orton. Like, it speaks so much about the two different characters, especially how John Cena is seeing this success outside of him. But it feels like they're setting all these notes up for Cena long term, for him to just realise what his legacy actually is. I like that idea, which arguably was meant to be the main point of the Netflix documentary for Vince McMahon, and obviously changed. It obviously changed, being like, what do you think your legacy is going to be? Well, it wasn't what he was thinking it was going to be. And let's move on to the main event, the Women's World Championship, Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley. with special guest referee Bianca Belair, aka Guaranteed Shenanigans. But I can't be upset about it because the gimmick is stapled on it. It's stapled on saying Guaranteed Shenanigans. Like, okay, you're promoting it, like, that's fine. And immediately with Bianca pulling each lass off of the other in the early pre-ad break flow. Not the cleanest of matches, one of those notes where the difficulty meter is set where it is for a reason. Things like a dropkick being off, which happens, so like, who cares, just switch the camera. To the big ringside reverse Rana spot completely falling on its ass. Like, there the flow was set to pause for a close count anyway, so it didn't really break anything, just do this slow count, get back into the ring. It did cause the latter run to have that sense of danger, though, given the bar for the whole match was high. Like, still to come, Brett's rope reverse Rana blocked Io onto Rey's shoulders instead and into an awesome-looking crucifix bomb reversal, which looked great and also safe as hell, aka they nailed it. But because of that earlier muck-ups, there was that sense of danger there. And I really enjoyed the final 6 or 7 minutes. The back and forth that had the crowd chanting VAR. A straight headbutt to air Io, but it was the razor's edge followed by the charging knee that got the crowd hyped into that chant. Then came our shenanigans. Accidental kick to Bianca, allowing Ripley to get the visible pin on Io and get pissed at the ref to the tune of "You're not fit to referee." The match completely falling apart in kayfabe. Ripley hitting the lass, then Io accidentally dropkicking her. There was only one way this match was going to go, and it drove down the exact road. Bianca throwing out the match, Io bringing the diving chaos, and Ripley hitting the riptide to everyone in sight. The show ending after the riptide off of Brett's rope to Belair, had Rhea chatting shit to both lasses and standing tall with the championship. It was a match which is absolutely just stapled all over it. There's gonna be shenanigans, they're gonna fall out with each other, not going to be a finish, or it's gonna be a screw finish or something. But because they did the advertisement for special guest referee and the way it was set up last week, like, really the only question is, what did Adam Pearce think was gonna happen? Like, in kayfabe, what did he think was going to happen? Given the immediacy of that reaction of just seeing Bianca as the special guest referee, like, oh yeah, so it ended the shenanigans. You're way more experienced than me, Adam Pearce, general manager. Surely you knew this was where it's gonna go. Yeah, but that's the big brain play. He wants this to be a triple threat. That's where he sees the money, but he doesn't know how to actually get there, so we're just getting all these weird bollocks. Yes, it works as a proxy for the creative, not really knowing how to get there, but, you know, if you say it's Adam Pearce, not really knowing how to get there. If he does this, if he tries to put that chaos ball in there, then he can just naturally sell it to the higher-ups. No, they've all got animosity, and now the crowd wants it. Big brain play by Adam Pearce. Hey, I'm looking for a way to explain it. It's been kind of just standard, but also nonsense. Almost like the exact beats you would expect from a WWE feud, one after the other, even if it doesn't really make sense for the characters. We've just plot beat gone this way. But also, Io, Bianca, Rhea, that's a triple threat I 1000% really want to see. I'm really looking forward to this match at WrestleMania, even if the build has just been kinda naff. Then brings us to Monday, Bloody Monday, Jimmy Uso versus Gunter. Well, this was bloody needed. Pun fully intended. No surprise that the best Jimmy Uso singles showing happens to be a Gunter match. The champion getting to showcase what he means with the promises of violence he's spoken to Jay through the medium of beating up the man's brother. One of those that had Cole going, "Enough is enough," on commentary as the Austrian reined in more stiff elbow strikes. But it was after the match that the real heat lit fire. Standard fare at first, with Jay Uso just charging out and sending the world champion scampering out of the O2 arena to the tune of "Wanker." Fade to advertisements. It was like, oh, okay, that's just where it's ending. Then we return to Jay helping Jimmy with aid from security, only for Gunter to jump back in. A powerbomb to one poor English security lad onto the steel steps, zip tie for Jay, trapping the man outside the ring to the middle rope. Your standard chatting shit from the champion, but Jimmy's jumps got him a bloody mark, and the amount that blood added as Gunter nailed another powerbomb and stiff forearms to the already bloodied older brother, oiling himself up with Jimmy's blood, which I'm sure got a "you sick fuck" chant, but this edited version kept dubbing the audio with quiet generic "Gunter, Gunter" chant audio. Such a hot angle, and the audio I got was so muted. Boo! In the UK especially, we are fine if you play the swearing. We get it all the time in the football, it's fine. We are culturally okay with this. It's alright, you do not need to edit it out of your hour version. The best angle was Gunter choking Jimmy out just out of reach from Jay, with the man's blood all over his arms and jaw as he shouted at his WrestleMania opponent. Produced after, as if that wasn't exactly part of the plan, the camera stayed on the commentary desk in all serious voice as they just described what was happening with the Usos off screen. But this was bloody needed. Just because this, I've been talking about how this feud has just been nothing, treading water, paint by the numbers. Every single week it's just a staging for an interference by one of them, whoever's not in the match. It's just so generic and blah. And it's the fact that it's also paralleled by the women's title also having the exact same issues with Stratton and Flair. This was needed. Suddenly you just got this angle which just had so much heat to it. Yes, the blood, like massively helped. But just the promise of violence, actually here we got a display of it, of the potential that Gunther isn't just saying this, that he is going to bloody up Jey Uso. I as a promise from the belly champion who feels like he's just guaranteed to lose, this was needed. This was so needed. But like I said, it still feels like the subsequent shows are going to really show how much heated up this has all gotten. It felt like an amazing note to actually, okay, we're properly lighting this up now. Let's see if it stays lit. That you've done this bit. All you have to do is keep that fire going for like a couple of weeks. And on to the other notes. The New Day got their heat in time for Big Strong Boy. The Dunn heel experiment kind of just fell flat. So back into the new Catch Republic with the London return pop. Kofi and Xavier had an incredible heel turn angle. Then nothing. Getting the win here though. War Raiders out after, because I guess they had nothing planned for WrestleMania for the World Tag Team Champions either. Also in a really weird like clashing of worlds, Dimension 20 have started a show. I've forgotten what the actual series is called. It's Kofi, Xavier, Bayley, and Chelsea Green all playing D&D in a specialised Greek gods wrestling thing. As soon as I saw that show up on Dropout, I was like, that is weird. A weird clashing of worlds. Two of the things I enjoy watching that are into like wrestling, and I like the Dropout content as well. Just, it's very strange that these worlds have clashed. Of all celebrities to show ringside, I did not have Charlie Brooker on my list. I was like, all Americans know what Black Mirror is. But still, he felt like a interesting choice, because obviously in the UK we know who he is, but he's not normally the kind of celebrity that Monday Night Raw showcases. Finn Balor dealt Penta his first loss, a losing effort teaming with Bron Breakker against the generic theme Judgment Day Balor and Dom. Breakker's charge accidentally spearing Penta, coup de grace soon after for the win, continuing to build that intercontinental multi-man with Judgment Day on the same page here. The MAGA 2 had their segment. AJ and the Transphobe are building to their match that kind of feels like they're in their own little universe outside of the rest of the product. Another chant edited out, so I have no idea what my fellow countrymen chanted as I was watching this. All I got who are you, and I got booing. But really, so much of the crowd audio was edited in this segment, it was just ridiculous. So in this moment I decided to take a punt at it being shut the fuck up. Then I looked it up and I was right. I was like, if there's an English crowd and there's somebody they really genuinely don't want to be listening to, they would chant just shut the fuck up. I looked it up and yep, that's exactly what they were chanting. And I found out afterwards that it was a very, very loud chant as well. Announced via backstage interview also, Lyra Valkyria will defend the Women's Intercontinental Championship against Bayley next week. And that was Raw. Another show which felt relatively fine. The main event angle with the women. It was nice to see Io and Rhea Ripley doing their main event, and I felt like they were building somewhere, but it was always going to end in shenanigans. They advertised that fact ahead of time, so I'm not unhappy about it going that way, because exactly what they told us was going to happen. It feels like a very paint-by-the-numbers storyline, which is just doing nothing to get me excited for the match, but I'm already excited for the match because of the three involved. But you did also get the Gunther segment, which I thought was so needed and an amazing segment, but also the gloves off character breaking down of Cody and John Cena was also what their feud needed as well. That's my kind of takeaway for the week, where SmackDown felt very, it was like it was fine in front of another hot European crowd, but Monday Night Raw felt like it was actually finally heating up on this road to WrestleMania, and I'm interested to see if SmackDown carries any of that fire, or if Monday Night Raw itself is able just to then reciprocate what was set up in London, and can they keep that fire burning for Monday Night Raw in America as well. It felt like finally, maybe this road's going to ignite for the final couple of weeks. Or we got a couple of hot segments and cool back down we go. It's one of the two. I don't know what it is. So I guess in a way I have to give like to SmackDown, but an actual thumbs up to Raw, purely because it had two segments that did such great jobs for their feuds. Other stuff, you know, it's fine, skippable, whatever. Like my version of the shows were like 1 hour 45 minutes, so I'm not as harsh on it. Like the segment I watched with the Transphobe was so edited that it really did just break the segment for me. There was just so much sound editing, just cutting out any chant had a swear word in it. And because it was the Transphobe, there were loads of chants of swear words in them. So it's just the crowd audio completely massacred in the edited version. However, I will 100% continue to watch the edited version because it's like 45 minutes shorter. That is a long time. I would have preferred to watch a 2.5 hour version of a show that feels like it outstays its welcome. No, perfectly happy for it to be the shortest show that I watch. Like the shortest show of the week that I'm watching, wrestling-wise. Anyway, that does bring me to the end of the review. Next week, we are finally back to America as we hurtle towards WrestleMania and Las Vegas. Not many shows left now, we're finally getting there. My number one question being, can they continue to keep these fires lit? Or, because we saw the fires lit on Monday Night Raw, does SmackDown also this week light those fires? And is anything carried on in terms of that heat? Because this road, the perception of it at the moment is that the tracks have kind of fallen off a bit. We're getting towards WrestleMania. The show itself looks relatively fine, but the build's just kind of fallen off a tad. What could have been, I think that's one of the things of it, especially with the John Cena heel turn. The possibilities of what it could have been and what it actually ended up being is, it's not really reached insane heights. It's not been shit either, which is kind of just makes it just feel, oh, okay. It's not unheated and people aren't not into it, but I feel like it could have been a white hot thing, but instead it's just like, it's a good quality when it could have been a great quality. So it's a, or could it have been a great quality? Am I putting, like, did I put way too much into John Cena as like a different, as a kind of different character? Like the possibilities of what he could have been, but then he is the same performer. So was he, is he actually capable of doing something that massively different? But yeah, I am also looking at it as this feels like a good building block year for whatever, like the Kingdom of Cody or whatever it's going to be. I like the idea of this being the first WrestleMania building to that, and having so many multi-men matches low in the card also gives the rest of the show just a feeling where it's not the got the finality that last year's did. There were so many things that ended at last year's WrestleMania. This year feels so totally different. There's just that lack of finality all over the card. Like even John Cena's thing, where, yes, it's his last WrestleMania, which is huge, but he's got his entire character arc that he's going to be doing at some point whenever he returns over the course of the year. So even that angle doesn't feel like there is that finality to it, because the rest of the year, there's whatever happens after this. Anyway, I'll be back this time next week. Thank you for engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciate it. Never take it for granted. I'll be back this time next week to watch these shows so you don't have to. We're getting there. We're nearly at WrestleMania. So with that, I bid you adieu. Adios.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.